You took everything from me.
I don't even know who you are.
You will.
Fanboys and Friends present Thanos came. Thanos saw. Thanos was snapped away. The Avengers disassembled. Assemble once more, no more. Until the next undertaking. A Marvel cast, Earth's mightiest podcast, spin-off podcast.
Wanda and Vision, aren't we a five pair?
This is our home now. I want us to fit in.
Oh, this is gonna be a gas!
Where did you two move from? How long have you been married, and why don't you have children yet?
Our story.
I think what my wife means to say is that we moved from...
Moved from where? Married when? Damn it, why?
Oh, Arthur, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
The witch and the robot. Explain that.
Am I dead?
No. Why would you think that?
Because you are.
Usual couple, you know.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
All right, gang, and welcome to the first episode of our Marvel cast, Earth's Mightiest Podcast spin-off show covering WandaVision. Yes, We're the one show that knows that, kids, you don't bang the machine. And, well, spoiler alert, gang, Wanda apparently doesn't know that.
I thought slap the machine was, like, normal maintenance.
Well, you know, maybe since it's Disney, we gotta keep it that way. But right. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. Again, I am your host, Davidson, and with me is your friend of mine, the gauntlet-wielding, Ben Reilly-swinging, Agent Venom-seeking, always long-box-diving, uber-geek, Mark Herleman. Mark, how you doing?
I'm doing good with my Venomized Captain America Legends series toy.
Nice.
I'll call it what it is. It's a toy. When you play with it and have as much enjoyment as I do, yeah, it's a toy.
Yes. Yes. Although I think the women in our lives would call them dolls. We'd be like, it's action figures.
Yes. No, man, I'm excited to, be back and talking Marvel. This is definitely a weirder one. We've talked about other shows loosely in the past, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I came late to that game. I think it was, what, fifth season by the time I started watching any of that?
And also, to be fair, I think that, and the reason we didn't cover it just in general at all is it wasn't under this sort of bloated Feige ego. I mean, because seriously, all these shows we're getting, and by the way, if anyone loves the Netflix shows or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I can understand that and I sympathize. But come on, they always felt like that fat kid, the back of the line, going, "Ooh, Papa Feige, I'm here. Papa Feige, I'm here. Pick me. That wasn't going to happen. Look, it could happen, but I don't think so.
So what's a single gal like you doing rattling around this big house?
Well, I assure you, I'm married to a man, a human one.
Wanda.
What's it bring? I'm not right. Why do you sleep out
the line? We are an unusual couple.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
Just don't know what to expect.
Howdy, neighbors.
Hey, bud.
Wanda, what's up? Who are you?
I don't know.
I think something's wrong here.
Wanda, can you read me? Who's doing this to you?
This is our home.
Then let's fight for it.
Well, I think we handled that well.
If you want to start off and, just describe what we're going to be talking about, because, I don't know, let's see, we lived through the sitcom and Bewitched and Nick at Night. It's like, what is this? This is weird.
This is WandaVision, my man. I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people immediately kind of, I want to say judge too soon, but I kind of feel like it's happening. This is a weird show. Mm-hmm. I feel like what they've advertised they're delivering on, but I think that Marvel fans are used to a different type of a Marvel experience, and this isn't the experience that a lot of fans are looking for or ready to take. I, on the other hand, am enjoying the heck out of this because it reminds me of, in a weird way, my childhood. Because I grew up with no powers, so I had no television or any, there was no old shows for me until the late 80s, early 90s when I moved to where I live now. And we moved into a city where we had power, we had cable, and I was able to learn about Nick at Night. And I watched all these old school, like Dobie Gillis, Bewitched, I Dream a Genie, right. Just a lot of the older shows. And I'd never seen any TV shows outside of just, a couple, two stations that we would get occasionally and see like Saturday morning cartoons and stuff. But outside of that, I didn't know anything outside of Star Trek from TV. So watching this show reminds me of those shows in such a way that everything is feeling very deliberate, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's the thing, is like this show's got that slow burn that they talk about, but and we'll come back around to whether or not slow burn is a good idea with this show, but that's the thing, is it's hard to judge the show right now because we don't know what the hell is going on. So when it comes to plot, we're all completely waiting for things to develop. We're just getting little clues right now. And the only real enjoyment that I'm getting out of this show is the campiness of it all. The trope of the fact that it's supposed to be kind of tongue-in-cheek, like a Bewitched sitcom. Mm-hmm. And the gags that are going along with that. I mean, I'm enjoying the heck out of that. I literally just finished binge-watching both those episodes again before we recorded. And, you know, it's the second of the two episodes where color gets introduced back into the world or into things. But I'm starting to wonder, you know, like, what's the next episode's going to be? Are they going to be in color from here on out? Are we going to slowly start jumping forward in genre and get to, like, you know, more 70s and then 80s type programming on TV till we get to the 90s and it's like fresh Vision of Bel Air kind of thing? Like, I really don't know what they're aiming for.
Oh my God, Fresh Vision of Bel Air. Kevin Feige, if you're listening, get your massive ego on that right now.
Right, so I'm not up to date when it comes to Vision in the comics or Wanda in the comics. And I do know that there was an ongoing series where, you know, they had their little dystopia place. They had their kids because there's Viv Vision, who I know about through, the Guardians, where she joined them. The Champions. And so I know a little bit about her and the fact that there was a family dynamic for Vision, mm-hmm. but I'm pretty sure that even that was with a robotic wife, though, and not Wanda.
It was with a family he created. So
Right. So there's a lot of cherry-picking
pieces here.
Did any of that wet your whistle? I mean, because I'm not so up to date to that. But I recognized aspects of it, but I'm like, okay, how much of this is going over my head, because I was only picking up on the Nick at Night vibe of things.
I like these two. I mean, granted, it was a little jarring at first because, again, it's not the Marvel we're used to, but, you know, I look at it very much like how one looked at following an Avengers film with an Ant-Man film. You kind of need a little puncture of relief, especially after Endgame and that whole, you know, 45 minutes of nerdgasm. You're like,
right. And that's where I kind of wonder where this show's going to fit. Because, like, as of right now, I don't feel like the show is going to be some major rocky moment for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
No, I don't. But I also feel, Mark, and without saying the word, because, you know, let's just call it our own 2020 blip. We'll take a Spider-Man term here. But I also feel that because of circumstances, the way they've been for the last year and too much change, that they didn't want to lead with this. My suspicion is what they wanted to lead with was Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I know we're getting in March, but I think the original plan was go Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Black Widow, this, and then go into Loki.
Yeah, because this show, if this was like one of a bunch of hard-hitting Marvel shows, I think people would be able to take it for what it is. Now, this being the first Marvel television, I think people are wanting something as explosive as the first Iron Man or Civil War or Endgame itself. It's definitely a tougher era in the aspect of what happened.
Yeah, and I agree. And right now, that this is not it. But you and I both know, guys, just wait your turn, because once Wanda goes nuts, she goes nuts.
Well, dude, do you think that this show might be being used as an avenue to bring Vision back full time? Because, I mean, as far as we know going into this show, right, Vision's dead. He had the stone was ripped out of his head and everything.
Right, yeah.
So he was gone. He wasn't brought back in the snap or any of that stuff. So if what's going on is a reality that somehow, some way, Wanda might be participating in creating, then maybe that's an avenue that he could come in?
Do you mean recreating Vision?
Yeah, in a sense. I mean, I guess that's the real question as to what's going on in the show, okay? I mean,
well, that would explain the stones to one his head, because you're like, wait a minute.
Right. Well, and then you've got, in the second episode, you've got the Wanda, are you okay? What are they doing to you kind of thing? So right, it's...
Yeah, you got the Jimmy Woo with his talented card trick voice.
Right, and then we've got the commercial with the Stark toaster. We got the commercial with the Strucker watch. Mm-hmm. So we've got a S.H.I.E.L.D. and a Hydra aspect. Although S.H.I.E.L.D., I don't think... I'd have to pay more attention on another viewing, but I don't think the toaster said anything about S.H.I.E.L.D., whereas the watch definitely said Hydra.
Right. Well, note that if you go back to the trailer, we have that glimpse of... Wanda with what looks like the same expression on her face when she was in that Strucker compound with her brother.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in what film Avengers were they 2. Introduced in the Ultron? Yeah, back in 2014. But I think that's what that one's alluding to. Now the toaster one, that one. Is interesting to bring up because I kind of feel like I don't know what that may be alluding to Easter egg wise, but do you get the feeling that, you know, come when we can actually have convention seasons again, why do I get the feeling that Marvel's going to sell that toast?
Commercial. I mean, those two are the two that jumped out, but I feel like there might have been one more.
No, there was only those two.
Okay. And then we have the big mystery of who's the B-Man, and I'm kind of like, what about Gail or Gladys or whatever, Diane, the neighbor next door? I mean, there's something about her seems like a sinister
deal. By the way, speaking the people in Westview, right? By the way, I find the director who went from Westeros to Westview interesting, but we'll get to that later, because let's be honest, when Wanda starts bending reality, you just watch Westview go very Westeros really quickly. Just saying. But, what about, I don't know if you caught it, but Dottie? Is a very familiar face. Very familiar face. Did you catch where she's from?
I mean, there's a bunch of them on there that I recognize from a bunch of different places. Now, is Dottie the neighbor next door?
Yeah.
I remember her from How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. That's.
I go even further back. Anya.
Really?
Yeah, for Buffy. Which raises the question, right? Because, you know, the...
I wonder... Yeah! Oh, man! Thank you! I was sitting there going, God, who does she remind me? Because the blonde hair was so bright, I didn't catch
Mark,
that.
Mark, it raises the question. What would have happened if Wanda gave the bunny to Anya? And the answer, nothing good.
Oh, that's a good one. You know, you mentioned Wanda using her powers, and I kept thinking about the aspect that, you know, we're watching the show,
mm-hmm.
And at the end of the first episode, someone was taking notes on the show, and that someone taking notes had the same symbol of the beekeeper. And yet, I was almost kind of wondering, like, okay, if someone's got Wanda actually prison, like the radio is in it, Wanda, who's got you kind of thing.
Yeah.
If they're using the TV show and maybe in the aspect like how I grew up kind of thing, Sokovia was the same situation where she grew up with a childhood of these type of shows.
Yeah.
And someone's using her subconscious to watch what she will manifest, and they're watching her basically expose her powers. Because, like, her and Vision all through it are kind of trying to hide the fact that they've got the abilities. Vision more so than Wanda. And even Vision says at one point, you know, like, I'm a machine, I've never forgotten anything, and yet he can't remember anything, which kind of leads to, well, you know, it's not actually Vision. Or right. Maybe it is Vision, and whatever is happening there is also affecting him, because it definitely is affecting her. They don't remember how they got there. They don't remember how they got married, when they got married. They don't remember how they moved there or where they moved from. Right. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of mystery here. But I have noticed, though, just a lot of kickback right now. Like, there's a lot of people that are just kind of like, not feeling this show. And I'm kind of like, man, it's really too early for me to make that assumption. I mean, well, like, it's just so different from everything we've gotten.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I want to, you know, elaborate with this point. I think the problem, and again, you kind of see it with Star Wars and the Mandalorian just a little bit. We're so used to the movie format, right, that it becomes an adjusting of the brain to a television format, because a television format, we're not getting it all at once. Now, unless right. You're going by Netflix's rule of thumb, which is just binge the whole thing and finish Cobra Kai in like a day.
There's nothing wrong with that. No shame. But I did think about that with this show. Like, we won't be able to say definitively until the show's over, but I kind of feel like this show would be better served in a here it all is, binge at your leisure kind of manner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it would. It would. So I think that's the problem at this point. I mean, what do you think of that?
I think going into it, I think, like you said, with the whole COVID shifting things, I think you're probably right that this probably wasn't going to be the original first pick.
No.
And it's definitely one of those that it's so unique that I feel like it's almost an experiment.
Yeah, it's... Well, and also Feige has come out publicly and said that he was a big fan of Nick at Nine, the old sitcoms. And honestly, I got to admit, when I first heard this, especially the name, I'm like, oh, WandaVision. I'm like, all right, Marvel, now you're just getting overconfident.
Well, and the interesting thing, though, is what you're watching is Wanda and Vision playing themselves. So, I mean, they're definitely not in character, first and foremost, because they're not even coming at any of the situation
right.
the way that their characters would. They're coming at it from this dystopia, perfect sitcom family. And I mean, there are moments where I even get a Roseanne kind of feel out of the nature of what they're doing and Dick
I'm
Van Dyke.
Sure, I'm sure they'll get to that sitcom. They just brought in Color, for God's sake.
Right, so do you think that that's something that they're going to do? Because, like, part of me felt like I was just kind of reaching once they put the color in there, but it did feel like we did kind of shift from, like, an I Love Lucy vibe to the Bewitched vibe, and, like, it felt like we were moving forward, because Bewitched and even I Dream of Jeannie was right there at the shift of black and white into color.
Yeah, I think they went in, they did that very deliberately to kind of say, okay, this is a decade-turning moment. You know, mechanism, as it were.
Right. There's going to be 9 episodes altogether.
Let me just tell you, and you will get a laugh, and gain listening, you will understand this. I will just say this. The answers are all right there in the Mephisto.
Mephisto.
Because, honestly, I really do think it's Mephisto behind all this. the choices are either Mephisto or Nightmare.
Mm.
And Nightmare, if I'm remembering right, is more of a Doctor Strange villain.
Well, but what about... I know we were just already dismissing it, but I mean, think about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., what was it, season 3, where they went into that mindscape and stuff? I mean...
I believe so, yeah. But like I said earlier, I think if we see anything from S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, theme-wise or character-wise, I think like in a very sort of other franchise and that pool of legends,
well, things are going to get cherry-picked. That's what would work, though, because, I mean... Even in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it was Hydra that had introduced that technology. I mean, that's kind of where I got the idea of, like, Hydra's holding them or holding her or is...
Right. Dude, what I'm saying is it's going to get cherry-picked if Feige wants to use it.
Right.
You know, it's not like the Netflix shows or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. were going to get absorbed into what Feige was doing.
Right.
Because you got to keep in mind when those shows were going, right? Feige did not have all the keys to the kingdom. We still had Jeff Loeb in play, which is one of the reasons why, if you remember early on, the tension between Feige and Loeb, it was one of the reasons why that relationship sort of disintegrated.
Dude, and I only learned about this stuff this week. I'm like, how in the hell long has this been public knowledge?
Well, it's been public knowledge for quite some time.
I've just been head in the sand, I guess.
Yeah, that's all right. We spent head in the sand since, you know, 20 dummy, so. I'm not calling it 2020 because I love saying hindsight is 2020, so I'm calling you 20 dummy.
Either
I'll just treat it like that map on the Simpsons movie where you're driving to Springfield and all of a sudden it just disappears.
Right. Here's something I can't quite quantify in my brain, right? In episode 2, when the beekeeper shows up.
Yeah.
There's that loud sound that's been going on all episode and they go outside. And then the sewer moves, the beekeeper comes in, which kind of implies that they're in a simulation and that he's coming from outside inside the simulation. But then Wanda looks at him and says, no. And then everything rewinds like it's an actual VHS tape.
Right.
And goes back to a point and then takes a different path forward. So I'm like,
now I'm glad you brought up the beekeeper because the symbol on the back of his suit,
yep,
and the symbol on the book in episode 1,
and the computer equipment also
and the
had
computer
symbol.
Equipment and the chopper she finds in a very Pleasantville sort of fashion. I think that is a very different thing because the symbol on the chopper and the symbol on the book, that's sword.
That's what I was wondering, too. I thought that was the sword symbol as well.
Yeah, that's sword. Very succinctly, that's sword. Which, by the way, I will say, hey, sword, you want to differentiate yourself from S.H.I.E.L.D.? Actually vet your own people.
And also, didn't they say that the one girl that's with her in the second episode is the girl that played the other Captain Marvel from the comics?
We have the older Monica Rambeau, but I think she comes in later.
Oh, that wasn't her right then? Okay.
No, you're talking the one in the second episode? No, that was just a stagehand. By the way, and I'm just going to say this, and no, I know we've heard this phrase a little too much, but guys, come on. I just got to say, you know, Wanda's been through a lot. She's had her brother killed. She's had, obviously, Thanos come along and rip the bling out of Vision's head, you know, turn him all pasty white and West Coast Avengers vibe look, whatever. So Wanda's been through a lot. So she obviously grew up with sitcoms, wants to recreate, you know, these feelings for her, wants to recreate when America was great. Yeah, nothing weird about that at all. Never mind. But I look at the second episode and go, Wanda, if you're recreating sitcoms, then why put a brother in a sitcom? That is the wrong era to put a black man in.
Yeah, so looking at some of the information that I pulled up, it says the fictional sitcom that the characters are in, also called WandaVision, features fake commercials that are slightly nefarious, including promotion of the organization Hydra, which Feige said were part of the truce of the show beginning to leak out. So that makes me feel like, you know, my feeling that everything we're doing here is definitely more Hydra-esque. Feels true, but definitely raises a whole nother series of questions as to how in the hell did Wanda get here and under them, and damn.
Yeah, well, I guess we're just going to have to wait and see as this unfolds more.
All I know is that makes me think immediately a little more sadder, though, because, like, you know, if the end of this show we don't get Vision reborn in some form or fashion, I'm going to be really bummed. We're heading for a damn brick wall here at some point with her realizing he's dead. I mean, that's gonna suck, dude.
Okay, can we talk about how adorable just Elizabeth Olsen is in this? She commits to everything sitcom about this.
No, you're right, because I was thinking the same thing about how adorably she plays the character, because she, and that's just it. She's not playing Wanda. She's playing sitcom Wanda, and she is nailing it.
She's playing sitcom era housewife is what she's doing.
Yeah. Oh, man. So looking at more of this Wikipedia stuff, they say other past sitcoms inspiring the series: I Love Lucy, My Three Sons, Father Knows Best, The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet, Bewitched, Family Ties, Friends, 30 Rock, Parks and Recreation. So, I mean, I have a feeling we're going to start moving forward. I kind of was leaning on a branch there, but I feel like there's pretty big girth to this branch, and it'll hold me and David. I'm going out on this branch, David.
I'm out right out there on this branch, and that's why I picked you to dive into everything Marvel. Okay? Even if the branch breaks, yeah. It's better to fall with a fellow brother going, I told you so!
Mm-hmm. Man, and the other thing, too, is, like, if this is all Wanda's subconscious that Hydra's allowing to run wild, it's kind of telling that her brother isn't there.
Well, isn't there a bit in the comics where she manifests him back as well?
I would assume so. I mean, you know, she's one of those characters. Like, I didn't jump into Avengers until after the No More Mutants storyline, where she dropped those words yeah, and changed everything.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, honestly, that was what made her so intriguing when they brought her on, because, like, that was all I knew about her. Her powers change reality?
I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things I don't like, I know we'll get there, like, with Phase 5 or 6 or whatever, but one of the things I don't like with the MCU currently is we don't have X-Men, right, in the universe. We know we will, but we don't have them right now. And so you look at the MCU in its current continuity, unless you're reverse engineering the whole No More Mutants, the House of M, how the hell are you going to, you know, do that? Or, see, Mark, my biggest concern, and I brought this up when we did our Uber Endgame review. Man, that was fun.
Mm-hmm.
One of my concerns is that using the snap to explain the X gene and mutants it just seems a little too easy, you know, like the old SNL church lady. How convenient, right? Mm-hmm. It seems a little too easy using the snap to explain everything in Marvel now.
Well, and here's something, too, to think about, right? I mean, we don't really watch time travel so much as we watch time travel as a device to create new universes, right? They go back in time, they do something, and everything changed, right? Mm-hmm. Well, we know that where Endgame ends, it's not the regular universe. How do we know this? Because old Steve Rogers is there, implying that this is actually the universe that Steve jumped back into, and this one is the one that he changed. I don't know. I'm just getting too deep there. But it was funny, though, that you mentioned House of M, because that is one of the inspirations that Feige had mentioned to the actress there that plays Wanda.
Yeah, but it concerns me because... are you reverse engineering the No More Mutants? Like she says a different phrase and then causes the X-Gene reaction? It's like, how, you see what I mean?
I don't get the feeling that the MCU version of Wanda is as powerful as the No More Mutants House of M Wanda. I mean, I've never really got the feeling that she could just say things into being like she did in the other one. It seems like she's using her hands and she's casting spells and things of that nature.
So you don't get that impression of this Wanda as opposed to the comic Wanda?
I don't, but if they do, I would be excited. I would be stoked to see that. Or even if they pull it's a next level of her, you know, mutation, because that seems to be a thing too, is that a lot of the mutants are continuing to evolve and are turning into Omega level mutants now.
Either that, or I can see them kind of using the mutants House of M angle as a sort of, okay, Strucker was doing experiments, but he really only basically scratched the surface as far as Wanda went.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Well, and so here's another little thing to consider too, is that Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, Olsen's going to be reprising her role as Wanda in that too.
Yeah, whenever that starts shooting again. But yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, we know this takes place.
I think they're all stuck up in London limbo at this point. London limbo, a really depressing song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I could go on, but no.
See, and for me, it's more about detective work at this point. There's not enough in what we have been given and what we've been teased with, mm-hmm, to really kind of flesh out ideas here. I mean, it's really kind of like, you know, just finding out that the House of M was one of the inspirations. It kind of does give you an idea of, okay, well, they could go this direction, they could go that direction.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree.
But well, it's definitely interesting.
Let's talk about Catherine Hahn, and I want to say this for straight up, okay? Disney, I know, we're getting a prequel, Cruella, you know, Emma Stone. I love Emma, okay? Love her to death. You know, unless you're making me watch Amazing Spider-Man 2, and then I'm like, damn you. But other than that, I love Emma the Pieces. Now, that being said, after watching Catherine Hahn in here, don't give me a prequel of Cruella. Give me Cruella de Vil and give Catherine Hahn a fur coat and have her want to skin the hides of Dalmatian puppies.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like, come on.
Yeah, I honestly, Hahn is probably one of the best characters that they introduced, because she just, all the way, she's like, oh, come on, hon. Like, when they had that scene with the boss, and she, like, kept coming back into the kitchen, and Wanda would direct her, get her almost to the door, she's like, and we got this appetizer, and that, and it's the main course, and this, and I was like, oh, she's going again.
And if you want another reason to go down the Mephisto rabbit hole, She responds rather interestingly to the phrase, the devil's in the details.
Yeah, that's true. And,
of course, Agatha Harkness, who in the comics is a bit of a sort of a not friendly mentor to Wanda, but somewhat of a...
Oh, dude.
Semi-demented one.
David, you're so... Dude, you're probably on to something here. I mean, I don't give Mustipho as much credit or clout as he deserves. I mean, if anyone could deliver certain things to Wanda, like bringing back the two men in her life that she loved desperately, her brother and her man, Vision, he could do it. And the best part outside of the universe is when they killed off Quicksilver, there were reasons why we couldn't have Quicksilver that are no longer in play.
Right, that are no longer in play. And also, not just bring back the two men in her life, or let's just say the man and the toaster, okay? the brave little toaster. Ah, see, Disney, plug for you. But not only that, but he could also bring in the twins, Wiccan and Speed.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, you know, when they had that moment where she looked down and she's pregnant, and she's like, Viz, is this happening? And he's like, it is. And I'm just like, okay, that was pretty damn quick.
Yes, and why do you think I said at the top of the show, do not bang the machine?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I mean, I don't care if it's a Disney show. It's got to be said. These things have got to come forth.
I thought it was kind of funny when they first showed up and they were both in their own single twin beds. It was very, very old school. I mean, all the old shows, you know, Dobie Gillis and stuff, all had that aspect where they were all in their own beds like that. Then when she pulled them in.
Yes. For those kids listening that don't know, there was a time back long ago when TV shows or anyone with a functioning brain was like, it the audacity that your parents would want to canoodle.
Mm-hmm. You know, in fact, older siblings could tell you this. Anybody that has two children would know.
Oh, I'm sure they would. Clever old devils.
That is as close to that joke as I am getting. I'm not touching it with a 12.5-foot pole.
Well, clearly you've learned not to, so kudos.
Scoutmaster training activate.
Yes. Family show powers unite.
You know, okay, that's another thing that I was thinking about, too, is the violence, right? I mean, this is definitely not a violent Marvel show so far. Do you think we're going to get any kind of, hand-to-hand combat or anything here? I mean, this is definitely the weirdest Marvel show I've ever digested.
No, I don't think hand-to-hand combat. I think that's going to be... In the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, clearly. But, by the way, when we cover that show, kids, listen for Cut the Check, Marvel's 48 Hours. Why call it that? Because we weren't going to call it Weekend at Bucky's. As much a sense of humor as we have, why not? We weren't going to call it Weekend at Bucky's. We just weren't. The idea was there. It was tempting. But no. Cut the Check seems so much more Anthony Mackie that we just had to go with it. But as far as this show goes, right? I don't think there's going to be much of a hand-to-hand combat. I think by the time we get to the end of WandaVision... we're all going to feel like a bunch of druggies going, that was trippy.
Far out, man.
far out, man. We're all going to feel like, Tommy Chong in that 70s show going, I can see the spaces between my hands, man.
Right? Now, were we ever told if this was a one season mini series kind of thing, or if they had a limited number of seasons, or if it's ongoing at this point?
I don't know. No, the only one I know of that may end up with a season two, mainly because we've heard his name, especially since he's going to be writing that Star Wars film that Feige's associated with. The only show I think that's going to end up with a second season is Loki.
Okay. Yeah, I could see Loki doing that at least.
This one feels like a Marvel one-shot.
Right. I noticed that, Feige even says he feels that binge-watching the series after all the episodes would be out would be equally a fun experience. I kind of already feel that as well. I think I actually would say at this point it would probably be more fun experience because I'm sitting here scratching my head going, what the hell, for at least a week. And then I'm going to get another little tidbit that's going to make me go, what the hell? And I wonder at what point is the point where we're going to hit that saturation point where I'm going to feel like I start getting answers. Because for me, I like the questions, but only once I get the answers. I don't tease me. Please me. Give me the goods.
Well, yeah. So let's talk about this. In episode one, and of course we got all the nice sort of Easter eggs there, very Dick Van Dyke-like in its approach. By the way, I'm just going to say, knowing that one of their consultants was Dick Van Dyke, right? I love Jeff Goldblum to pieces. I think he makes a fantastic Grandmaster. But, dear God, Mark, I just gotta say, Dick Van Dyke as the Grandmaster, that would have just been too much gold to pass up. Maybe at this point, old Dick could play like the Grandmaster's pappy.
Pappy! Yeah.
He could just come in all dancing like he does in Mary Poppins Returns. Which I'm sure he was aided tremendously by, a little middle-aged pill that gives men more energy. Who knows? I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm reading up more on this theory here that people are having that Wanda might be breaking down the walls between different realities. Like,
Yeah, I think that's what she's doing because, let's talk about it because if you go back to Investor Day, and Feige did mention this, that this was kind of the beginning of a multiverse trilogy where this was going to play into, obviously, Spider-Man 3, hopefully improved from the last Spider-Man 3, just saying. please, if Tom Holland dances emo on a table, I'm out. Unless he's dancing
Let me just say, in Tom's defense, Tom can dance.
Yes, no, I understand that. But, Mark, the only way I will accept that ever again is if he's dancing to Tequila and his partner is Pee Wee Herman.
Okay. I just keep wondering, though, if people are still giving Wanda just too much credit. From what I have seen of Wanda in the films, I do not see a powerhouse that can accidentally rip the fabric of reality apart. I just don't see that.
Right. Feige also did mention that, yes, this plays in the Spider-Man 3, but it also plays in the Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Right.
Now, Now, what do you think of that? I mean, is it again this kind of dovetails into our, you know, from, you know, show to movie and then jumping back and forth discussion. Do you think that's a rather risky move? Should they have started WandaVision as a movie itself?
I don't think this could have survived as a movie. The nature of what they're doing.
Well, not on just these episodes. Not on just these two episodes by themselves.
Well, no, not but I mean, I think that just the nature of that, like, they would have to compress all that down, and I don't know if that would be the same story that they're trying to tell right now. That's the hard part about that. But what's interesting is, like, it definitely feels like Phase 4 movies all have multiverse as a theme. You know, with Doctor Strange is flat out explicit in the title.
Right, yeah.
Rumors galore for Spider-Man.
Oh, God, that has me nervous.
Right, and then this one has the feel of a different universe or a different reality, but I feel like that reality is more of a construct similar to like what we had with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. With Fitz going in and becoming the head of Hydra through that. I can't remember what that was called, the construct or something like that.
Oh, you're talking a little rock that melted into like a puddle?
Around that time. Yeah, yeah. When they were in that altar, or the it was basically like the holodeck.
Yeah, it was more or less the holodeck, except if the holodeck turned into a big pile of goo.
Right, and if they're using something like that, because again, that was whether Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to fall in this universe or not, it was a Hydra technology in that story arc, so Hydra could have another similar device, and if they did, then that would mean Wanda's body is somewhere. Which is definitely in the hands of Hydra.
Now, wait a minute. Are you saying Wanda's body is somewhere like, oh, I don't know, a certain clone trooper in a Bad Batch arc?
Well, yeah, that could be. I mean, it all really depends on what they're trying to use her for, too.
I swear to God, dude, if I have to look at a beautiful Elizabeth Olsen strung up by apparatuses, I'm going to want to punch Hydra in the face myself. And, of course, the closest thing would be Kevin Feige.
But, yes, Feige, but, we're still watching your career with great interest.
Yes. We're watching your career and slowly but surely most of us are going, be gentle.
I'm just saying, from a Star Wars perspective, if he comes over and does what he's been doing to Marvel for Star Wars, I think it'll be safe to say he is the modern-day George Lucas of his era.
Okay, we are not going down that conversation. In short, I will tell you, he's already said outside of his film, he's not.
He's not.
He has publicly said this. Outside of his film, he's not. And really, if you go back to September 2019 when we first heard about it, it's a Feige-Kennedy collab. They're both co-producing the film.
Well, but if we know anything about the way Kennedy handles it, it's like, well, you're directing, here you go, you do it all.
Really, Mark, really? You gonna light
up the... I'm looking forward to what Peggy does, that's all I'm saying.
You gonna light up the internet forums now? What the hell is the matter with you, boy?
Subreddit.
Yeah. I think 2020's greatest hits are still like, you know, trying to club you over the head.
So if you had to do the gut check, and you had to tell your friends based off of watching these two episodes, if this show is worth investing in, what would you tell them?
Well, I would say stick with it. You know, Hell Have No Fury Than a Witch Scorned. And anyone who's dated or married probably knows that already. Whoops, I'm gonna get crucified for that, but it's true. But I would say, yeah, I would just say stick with it. Because Wanda's nuts. I mean, there's no other way around it. Wanda's nuts. And by the way, and come on, two guys on a call, we can contest this. The pretty ones usually are.
So I'd have to say, if someone were to ask me based off of these two episodes, I would just say, wait. I would say, hold off for now. It's too vague to really get a good sense what the show is going to do.
Yeah.
It's so vague on purpose that it's hard to say if it's going to be good what they're going to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that it's vague enough that even if you binge it all at once, I think you're going to get more out of binging it all at once than you're ever going to get out of watching this episode by episode while you're on the fence. I think that it is one of those, it is such a slow burn that it is, you know, it's going so slow, and then having the release the way it's doing, I don't think you're going to find very much enjoyment out of it yet. But I definitely think that if you wait, watch it all at once, even if you don't like it, you're going to get more value out of your time and energy put into this if you're on the fence. If you already like it, you already like it.
Like I said,
I enjoyed the humor aspect of this a lot.
I loved it because it reminded me of what my old man, God rest him when he was alive, got me into. He got me into all these old radio plays like George Burns and The Life of Riley and all those old sort of things. Nice. Fibber McGee and Molly and these two episodes really reminded me of that sort of dynamic and interplay. It also reminded me of the Neil Simon plays that I used to be a part of in high school when I took drama. Like the Who's on First and Arsenic and Old Lace and that kind of stuff. That's sort of very quick and paced, you know, very sitcom-esque humor that Neil always wrote his stuff in. The Odd Couple, for one.
Right.
So it reminded me of that, and I was watching the episodes again, you know, before recording, and it's just charming. And Mark, you and I can contest this, and everyone else on the planet. And like I said, we'll go all Spider-Man, and we'll call it, unfortunately, reality's own blip. After what we've been through the last year and too much change, or almost a year and too much change, whatever it's been, we just need something cheery, something fun. So when I said that also, you know, with DC, when Wonder Woman came out, when everyone wants to crap on something and dogpile on it, I'm like, just be glad you have anything that is even remotely close to cheery right now, you ding-dong.
Right. Oh, yeah, we're going to be feeling that the everlasting lulls of Hollywood shutting down for COVID over the next year, definitely. And, you know, God, it'll be hard to say how many years, actually. I mean, there was probably a lot of projects that we never even heard of that were just completely put on pause and then got canceled.
Mark, considering what I do, I have to have a bit more optimism than the rest of you.
Right?
You know, maybe because, oh, I don't know, I'm a little more biased and close to it.
No way.
Yes, I know. You were too for a while.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Yeah, I definitely feel your struggle, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. I don't really mind it. I get to just, you know, my apartment's like all Star Wars, Marvel, you know, DC, maybe, like, when they actually try. So I'm like, eh, whatever.
I just honestly don't understand why they don't just do reserve seating. You know, you have so many seats, you call in, you reserve your spot, and so you have to show the movies for a couple more weeks longer than you would have, or more showings in a day. But
that's what we have. We've had reserved seating for a while.
Good, good. I know my local one, they weren't doing that, and it's just like, why aren't you? It makes no sense.
What, you mean Oregon's still behind?
Go figure. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. I do know when we get way past this and I visit Oregon, I'm very much looking forward to the Herleman tours, where I'm like, why do you guys still look like the 90s?
It's because we love the 90s. That's why.
Okay, 90s were a great decade.
My wife's all like, you remember, like, when we were kids and the way we would look at the 60s? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, that's how kids today look at the 90s. And I go, no. There's a difference. When we were young, we were looking at the 60s, which was all about hippie and power and stuff. These kids have the 90s as their 60s. That's a big-ass upgrade.
Okay, I say this as the unmarried guy, but Mark, to paraphrase Han Solo just a little bit, let woman win. Just let the woman win. It's better for all of us.
This is true. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Hopefully Vision will take that note to heart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And either that, or I can see Wanda throwing more flying saucers at this indestructible head. See, we brought it back.
Yeah. Now somebody's got to clean up some broken plates off the back of the building floor. Those goes.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, again, I say we successfully covered these first two episodes. Again, not much to talk about, as Mark and I will agree. Give it time, guys. You know, from what I've been hearing, episode 3, which airs Friday, and if you're listening to this on delayed, let's see, you'll have, a couple hours, perhaps. But, you know, from what I hear, episode 3 really starts getting into the bizarre of what this show can do. So, and, you know, for scheduling purposes, again, and, you know, lives and all that stuff, Mark and I will reconvene in 2 weeks' time to discuss episode 3 and 4. Yes, we're going to double them up, much like Kyle Wagner and I have been doing with the Mandalorian on the From Endor to Jakku, a Mandalorian aftermath. Everybody wants to go back to Jakku. Yeah, I know we did. So we're going to be doing it that way. And the last episode, episode 9, Mark and I will review 9 and then talk the whole thing overall. That ought to be a much longer discussion. Mm-hmm. So we'll get there. So, gang, that'll bring us to the end of the show today. Mark, I'd like to thank you for joining me to talk the first 2 episodes of WandaVision. Or as I like to call, Marvel being overconfident in its titles.
Wanda, boop!
Oh, don't give away our next episode. Spoiler here, don't give that away. I told you on IM, and I could literally hear Herleman's laughter. I'm like, I got him.
Yeah, that's true.
Ladies and gentlemen, I got him.
That was a good one. Yeah. There may have been liquid sprayed. I was mid chug of some soda there.
Woo! I feel special. I feel great. All right. So again, thank you for joining us, and for me and my co-host Mark, let me just say this: he who leaves the Baxter Building last gets to turn out the light. And this is broke on Vision's head. Clean those up too, you know, and I'm sure the thing left some of his droppings as well.
Yeah, that's antique china. That stuff shards sharp.
I'm glad you said sharp, because I'm like, wait, shards? That's probably a thing after the restroom.
So what's a single gal like you doing rattling around this big house?
Well, I assure you, I'm married to a man, a human one.
One.
Thanks for listening to The Witch and the Robot. Explain that one.
We are an unusual couple.
Oh, I don't think that was ever in question.
We just don't know what to expect.
A Marvel Cast, Earth's Mightiest Spinoff Podcast. Covering WandaVision, streaming exclusively on Disney Plus.
Wanda, what's up?
Who are you?
I don't know.
I think something's wrong here.
Wanda, can you read me? Who's doing this to you?
Are you here to help us?
This is our home.
Then let's fight for it.
All Things MCU Marvel is a subsidiary of the Walt Disney Company. This podcast is meant for informational purposes only. All rights reserved, and no infringement intended.
Well, I think we handled that well.